If you take your Bible now, we're going to be reading two separate passages of Scripture. The first one is Psalms 35. You'll find that, and then you'll go to Genesis. If you'll find Psalms chapter 35, mark it, and then go to Genesis 39. Once you've found Psalms 35, place a marker there and go to Genesis chapter 39, towards the end of the book of Genesis there. Genesis chapter 39, we'll begin reading the first six verses in unison. I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me all the way through verse number 6. Genesis chapter 39, the Bible says in verse number 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught, he said, save the bread which he had eaten. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now, if you will go to Psalms 35, we'll read one verse together, verse number 27. Psalms 35, we'll read verse number 27 together. Ready? Begin. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, today in our midst. Lord, how your presence has been with us and how you've met with us. Lord, thank you that in this life, Lord, you've called us to live. You've called us to live a victorious life. You did not call us to live a defeated life. Lord, you want us to prosper in what we do. And Lord, through tonight's message, through your man of God, Lord, with the Holy Spirit's help, Lord, speaking the truth from your word, Lord, would you please, Lord, touch our hearts, Lord, and teach us how we can do more for you and become more productive, Lord, in this work for you. Lord, we ask that you'd do all these things for us tonight, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for everything that is done here tonight. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Joseph, here in the Old Testament, this is not the Joseph, the stepdaddy to Jesus, of course, but Joseph has been nearly murdered by his brothers. He had brothers. This is the son of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is one of the sons of Jacob, who is Israel. It is through Joseph that the line of Israel was run all the way to Jesus. He's been nearly murdered by his brothers. Remember, they took his coat of many colors and they were going to put him in a pit and kill him at first, and then they just threw him in the pit. Then they sold him to a bunch of Ishmaelites that were coming through, and they got a little bit of money for their... Can you imagine being so hateful to your brother that you sold him to somebody into slavery? Brother Scott, that's what they did to you. But anyway, then the Ishmaelites travel a little farther and they end up selling him to the Egyptians, one of which was Potiphar, and Potiphar ends up buying Joseph. Joseph is the youngest son of Jacob and Rachel. He was also the favorite son of Jacob and Rachel. And by the way, I think it's very dangerous to choose favorites of your children. They're all individuals. You all ought to love them the same as far as quantity, but each one has a different personality. You'll love them differently. I love my daughter differently than I love my son. Josh doesn't run up and jump into my arms and hug me and hang all over me. My daughter does, and I'm glad that he doesn't. All right? Big as he is now, I'd probably fall over. But he was the youngest. He was not the oldest. And here's the unique thing about it. God showed Joseph that because of the type of person he was and how that he was a goodlier person than most, that he would end up being the leader as youngest instead of oldest of all his brethren. That's backwards from Hebrew culture. Usually it followed the oldest to the youngest, and Joseph was going to lead the nation and be the father of the nation of Israel as well, instead of the oldest brethren. Now, he goes from the favorite spoiled child to a slave. He's hated by his brothers and sold twice into slavery. I imagine he could have been pretty upset, pretty depressed, and not wanting to do much in life. Can you imagine how you would feel? But I want you to notice what God says about Joseph. God says in verse number 2, Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Verse number 3, last, the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. May I say this? One thing about Joseph that I like is this. He did not let any circumstances, no matter how bad, keep him from being prosperous. It looked pretty bleak, but you don't see Joseph in Juniper Jungle sitting under a tree complaining and whining and having his lower lip sagging on the ground, playing poochie lip. Joseph just decided he would be productive no matter where he was in life. Matter of fact, if you went to Genesis 39 at the end of the chapter, you find out in verses 21 through 23, Joseph's put in prison for 7 years. Verse 23 at the very end says, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. While he was in jail, he was prospering. It didn't matter if he was in slavery, he was prospering. Didn't matter if he was sold by his brethren, he was prospering. Didn't matter if he was in jail, he was prospering. He did not let circumstances hold him back. God says that he was a prosperous man. It also says that the Lord made him to prosper. But I want you to notice one part of this that we often miss. Look at verse number 5. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 5. It says, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, watch this, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Ooh. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. In other words, God allowed Potiphar to be prosperous and succeed for Joseph's sake. I want you to notice something here. God not only blessed Joseph and made him to prosper, God also prospered a lost Egyptian. Is that not what it says? God was helping a lost worldly boss prosper for Joseph's sake. Now, listen to this: these next statements. If you don't hear anything tonight, you need to hear the next 3 or 4 minutes. Prosperity is not an individual thing. When God helps someone to prosper, all those around that one prospers as well. God's prosperity is not limited to saved people. Let me say that again. God's prosperity is not limited to saved, sanctified, and set apart people. God's principles work for everybody. Did you know that sowing and reaping is true for the nice farmer as well as the scoundrel? Don't care if you're a good man or if you're a scoundrel. you plant crops the right way at the right time, you're going to prosper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are. See, God's prosperity is not based on what you are, it's based on what you obey. God did not reserve prosperity for nice people only. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to help you here. But nice people can prosper. But mean people can prosper. Unsaved people can prosper. God may even help an unsaved person to prosper for the sake of helping saved people. God blesses truth and principle. He does not just bless a person. This is the issue, not this. That is the issue, not you. God blesses obedience to truth and principle in the Bible, no matter who obeys it. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, you better be glad that God accepts sinners to get saved. As long as you're willing to obey the necessary requirements for salvation, he helps lost people to get saved. Why could he not bless lost people with prosperity? We think that only good and nice people should prosper. May I say, we think the only true and spiritual people should prosper. Say why? We may think that prosperity is an indicator of being spiritual. No, it's an indicator of following biblical principle. Now listen to this. Let me illustrate it this way. I believe God blessed the Ford Motor Company during the 1970s and 80s and 90s while my dad worked there, partially because it got me to where I'm at. I believe God kept it successful and successful enough for him to keep working so that he could put food in my belly and clothes on my back and help me get through Christian high school, partially help get me through college and do some of the things I've done. You say, why? Because God blessed his work and it blessed the Ford Motor Company, which blessed the work of God. He's used what he made while he was there to help other churches. Yes. While he worked for Ford Motor Company, a church started in his home in Greenwood, Indiana, that's still going today, running 500, 600, 700. Started in his living room. I think God prospered Ford Motor Company because of the faithfulness of my dad while he worked there. Everybody doing okay? Let me say this. There were a lot of people that made a whole lot more money than my dad did at Ford Motor Company. Well, that's not fair, says who? Look how many people have been saved because of it. Everybody doing all right? So I want to help you tonight. I've got 21 minutes to give you four things. You ready? Number one, God wants you to prosper. We read in Psalm 35, verse number 27, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Did you know God does not want you to fail? Did you know God wants you to prosper? He said that he has pleasure in your prosperity. Now, prosper does not mean wealth or having an abundance of things. I know that we have a tendency to follow definitions. We think prosper and success are the same thing, and they are not. They're two totally different words. Everybody doing okay? The word prosper means favorable, fortunate, to thrive, or to flourish. Prosperity is growing or thriving or enjoying what you do. It doesn't mean making a bunch of money and keeping it in the bank and becoming highly successful. It means enjoying what you do have. Prosperity doesn't mean abundance of things. It's an abundance of satisfaction or enjoyment in what you do have. Let me say that again. It's not an abundance of things. It's an abundance of satisfaction and enjoyment in what you do have. Prosperity is, I enjoy what I do, even though, and I don't know what Brother Scott makes, but I'm sure Brother Scott makes a bit more money than the pastor does. May I say this? I'm prosperous without having as much money as what he may make. I'm not trying to compare myself to him or he to me. I have no idea what he makes. You can look on my sheet and figure out what I make. Okay? Doesn't bother me. May I say this, though? Prosperity isn't in what you make, and it's not in comparison to what somebody else makes. Right. It's enjoying what I do have. It's being satisfied with what I do have and giving everything that I am to what I do do. Well, that's a good statement. You don't have to be top man on the totem pole to be prosperous. You could be the guy flipping burgers that's prosperous. Yes, sir. You can be the guy cleaning floors and cleaning toilets. Amen, Brother Joe? And be prosperous. I watched that man clean floors, clean toilets, scrub walls, do nasty jobs for year after year after year after year after year. He had had epilepsy so bad and grandma seizures. He wasn't allowed to work out and make a bunch of money. It wasn't safe for him to. It wasn't safe for him to do it where he was doing it either. But I picked Brother Joe up in puddles of blood and stitches and you name it so many times, it's not even funny. Joe and I have been through hundreds of seizures together. I remember the day when he went through a glass door. I remember the day Leanne called me and he was at home and fell in his chair backwards and got stuck between the table and the hutch behind him and his chin in a seizure was going like this and he busted his collarbone in 7 places with his chin. I'm talking bad seizures. I've watched God in the last 16 years now, Brother Joe, without a seizure. Now he's a licensed electrician taking his journeyman's tests. Say why? God prospered him while he was cleaning toilets. Never saw Joe Lopez with a bad attitude with a mop or a toilet plunger in his hand. Not once. God blessed that and made him prosperous. Now he'd gladly give up the toilet plunger for a pair of pliers, amen? Who wouldn't? I say something. Prosperity, though, he was just as prosperous when he didn't make as much money as a janitor. One of the happiest, most influential men, quietly, that you'll ever meet. Huh. So prosperity isn't an abundance of things. It is an abundance of satisfaction and enjoyment in what you do. Number two. Prosperity is gotten by action, not by inheritance. Prosperity isn't something that's just given to you by inheritance. It's gotten by how you live. Turn to Psalm 1. Oh, a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, I'm sure most of you read this, or at least I know in my Sunday school I taught on this a little bit. I didn't have time to teach a lot. I'm going to teach it even faster right now. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Watch this. And whatsoever he, what's the next word? Doeth shall what? Prosper. Notice you have to do something to prosper. Prosperity doesn't come by sitting there. Prosperity doesn't come by waiting at the mailbox, waiting for Publishers Clearinghouse to come knock at your door. say, preacher, that's ridiculous. Exactly. You see, but you could also ruin your own prosperity. God's warning us here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So to prosper, you can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you're not to stand in the way of sinners. You can lose your prosperity by walking with the ungodly, by standing with sinners, by sitting in the seat of the scornful. God says if you do those things, you will not prosper. I didn't say it, God did. Is that not what he said? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. His law is his word. Say, what is that? If you're meditating on it and doing what God says, guess what? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says, don't walk in with the ungodly, don't stand with sinners, don't sit with the scornful. Do what God said, and he will make your life prosperous. Boy, that's good stuff. When you act on Bible principle, you will prosper. I am 100% against abortion. And say that again. You sound like a bunch of Episcopalians. I am 100% against abortion. It's murder. I don't care who has one. I don't care if it's rape, incest. It's still a living child. It doesn't matter where it came from. It's still a life. Everybody doing okay? Say, boy, you're radical. No, I'm for what God said. As much as I am against abortion, I am not going to go to abortion clinics and protest, and I'm not going to get on a rampage and take our church and go march around abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood and all the other mess that goes with it. That's not going to fix abortion. What's going to fix abortion? Go soul winning. Win people to Jesus Christ, get them in church, get their life changed, and let the word of God change their life. I'll guarantee righteousness has caused a bunch more abortions not to take place than any protest has ever brought forth. Guarantee it. There may be somebody in here who's had one. Guess what? You're still loved. It's still wrong, but you're still loved. You see, me preaching like a wild man, preaching what God said, and preaching to our teenagers stay clean and pure, come to this altar as a virgin like they should, hey, that's going to prevent a lot of abortion. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. Number three, God can help give us more prosperity as we obey. As you obey, as you do what God says, God can give you more prosperity. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Oh, it's just back from Psalms there, a few books. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and then Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 2. Look at verse number 20. Nehemiah 2:20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Look around. God's prospered Grace Baptist Church. In the process, some of you have prospered as Christians. Some of you have prospered. You're not making any more money than you did before, but you're prospering as a Christian. My daughter was working on one of those things that you're handing out, wedding invitations, that's the word. She said, Dad, since I got the list, there's so many more people in your church. I need more names. Well, it was just back in the summer she got the list. That encouraged this old preacher, let me tell you. Not because she's wanting something, but it encouraged me that there's so many more names just in the last 4, 5, 6 months. She said, Dad, I might have to get some more and send them to you. I said, that's all right. Next time you come, we'll have more people that you need for them. That's what it's all about. That's called prosperity. And as we grow as Christians, we prosper, and that prosperity spills over to where others want it as well, and God gives us more prosperity. Boy, that's a good statement. We don't have time to turn there, but Psalm 30, verse 6, Psalm 122, verses 6 and 7, talks about that God will give his people prosperity. Then, as we obey God more, we enjoy it more, and he can help us prosper more. Soul winning is very scary to people till they do it the first time. Then when you see it happen, you say, that's exciting, let's do that again. How many of you, just since we started our program of passing out tracts, you've kind of conquered the fear a little bit. And it gets exciting because some of the things that have happened. Raise your hand. Yeah, a bunch of you. Brother Joe was telling me about something that happened this week. And Leanne Kelly told me a story. It's exciting me. We may not have done it before, but the more you do it, the more exciting it gets, the more God prospers you, and the more you do it again, and the more you do it again, and the more you do it again. I watched my wife and daughter, they walked out of a bank the other day. They did not rob it. But they were holding the door for, I'm not sure she was an older lady, but you could tell she was a troubled lady who had had a pretty tough life. I'm sure she was older, but she was just a bit, I don't think decrepit is a bad word, but she was just a little bit rough. My daughter had come out, and she got in the car, and she looked around, and Mom wasn't there. Well, I knew what my wife was doing. She's passing out a tract of witness into the lady. Found out she went to another Baptist church in the area. She still got the tract. Say, what is that? That's called being prosperous, enjoying what you do. Isn't that what it's all about? Turn to 1 Corinthians. By the way, prosperity doesn't mean that you have results. It means you have obedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to show you something here. Get ready for it. Look at verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, that's in reference to taking an offering. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every man, every one of you lay by him in store as God hath, what? Prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, it's talking about tithes and offerings. We're to tithe, and God says that he will bless tithing. Malachi chapter 3. God says tithing will bring prosperity when you obey it. It doesn't say because you tithe you're going to go out and make $1 million. According to Malachi 3, he said he would rebuke the devourer. That means some of the things that could have broke down may not break down. And some of the things that did break down, you might not pay as much money for to get fixed. God's going to help you save money. But he also said he'd pour out the windows of heaven upon you. That doesn't mean that you're just going to sit there and God's going to pour money on top of you because you put your $5 in the plate this week. No. It's not seed money. It's not, I'll read what I put here. God's not a slot machine. You're not putting quarters in, and eventually it's going to go, and you're going to make a whole bunch back. At least that's what Brother Scott said it sounds like. never done one, I don't know. But God's not a slot machine. God didn't say you're going to have an abundance of things, but God said he would bless you and he would prosper you. Do you know you get to the point in tithing where it becomes fun and not something you have to do? That's a good statement. Joseph made the best of being in Egypt while even in jail, and was able to prosper while he was in jail. Let me make just a couple quick observations. I'll go to the last point and be done. Joseph did not whine about what he did not have. You never find one time where he was crying and depressed and discouraged over, well, I'm not at home with my dad, not at home with my brothers. I'm in Egypt and I'm in jail. This isn't fair. Why is it happening to me? I'm not a bad person. He didn't sulk like we do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Joseph did not complain about what he should have had. His father was a wealthy man in Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Guess what? Joseph didn't sit in jail saying, well, I should be back with my dad. This isn't right. I don't understand why the baker and this person, they're one got out and he forgot me and this isn't fair. He wasn't complaining. Why'd God do that? Why'd God let that person succeed? He just prospered at what he had. Okay, I got sold to the Ishmaelites. I'll do my best. I got sold from the Ishmaelites to the Egyptians. I'll do my best there. The Egyptian's wife tried to cause him to commit adultery. He would not do it. Got thrown in jail because of a false accusation. For 7 years, he spent 7 years in prison for something he did not do, but he prospered in jail. Joseph didn't compare himself to somebody else. He just decided he'd give the best at what he had, no matter what that was. Number four, I've got to finish. Prosperity is not limited to God's people. Prosperity is not limited to God's people. Turn to Psalm 73. This is going to hair lip a bunch of radio preachers. I'm going to hair lip a bunch of TV evangelists. You ought not listen to them anyway. This is going to hair lip, what's the cow do? Oh, Joe Osteen. Why are you calling him the cow preacher? Because the only way I can remember his name, Osteen and Holstein, you know, it's pretty close there. Psalm 73, look at verse number 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Guess what? Lost people can prosper too. Potiphar prospered because Joseph was prospering. Genesis 39 verses 3 through 5 again. Because Joseph worked hard, his boss prospered. I believe the companies that you work for ought to prosper because you work for them.
Yes.
I believe part of tithing could be that your company doesn't go out of business and you still get a paycheck.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? I believe God will bless the company you work for as a saved person if you're prosperous for your company. Quit complaining about it all. Just work and enjoy it and let the company prosper. Somebody's going to make more money than you. Why are you comparing yourself to them anyway?
Right.
You're the one that agreed to work for what you work for. Sorry. My dad told me the day I turned 16 and got my first job officially. He said, son, you're agreeing to work for this? Yes. He said, don't you ever let me hear you complain about what you're making. He said, the day I do, I'll go to your boss and tell him to fire you. He said, if you agreed to work for, at that time, minimum wage was $2.85 an hour. Yeah. Can't even buy a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donut and had to work an hour for it. But you could also buy gas for 70 cents a gallon too. But if you agreed to work for $2.85 an hour, he said, you want $3 an hour, go work somewhere else, but don't complain to your boss about it. He said, you're the dummy that agreed for $2.85. Good point. He said, you're the one that took the job and accepted the terms. Don't blame them for it. Everybody doing okay? Well, I didn't get a big cost of living increase this year. Who said you were supposed to? You agreed to work for what you agreed to work for. Sorry. Don't like it? Go find somewhere else to work, but don't complain about it. Aren't you glad you didn't grow up in my home? God's principles work no matter who uses them. Saved or lost.
That's right.
God's principles work no matter who uses them.
That's right.
Some of you think it's very unfair that things happen to save people. This pastor's son who's dying right now. Well, that's not fair. Somebody else is a drinker and they're succeeding, they're prospering. Can I tell you something? God's principles work for everybody. And one of God's principles is this: for the wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter if you're a saved sinner or a lost sinner, the wages of sin is death. The way of the transgressor is hard. Guess what? Transgression is a breaking of a rule, which is sin. And we're all transgressors. We're going to have a hard time in life.
Yes, sir.
Nobody promised your life to be good all the time.
Right.
All sunshine makes a desert.
Amen.
Now, this is where the sermon's going to hurt. Are you ready? We should want others to prosper, even the lost, because it's what God wants. It may be what draws a lost person to the gospel. They get to see God's blessing because of God's people. There'll be a man stand here in March, a man named Stuart McMillan, that got saved because a bunch of Bible college guys, three or four college guys, worked for his company and God started blessing it. And in one day, 5 millionaires got saved in the same room. Can I tell you why? Because God blessed them because a bunch of people that were doing biblical principles. I can't tell you every part of his company is following Bible principle, but I know this. He gave our church $165,000 without question. Called it crumbs in the bottom of the cookie jar. I'd like to see the cookie. Not even the jar. Could be why his company is now on 5 different continents. Not selling on 5 continents, producing on 5 continents. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Following biblical principle. Especially when I get emails that say, please don't thank me again. I get more from God because I gave than you did by getting. I could show you the email. Not all lost people will prosper because of God's blessing on his own people. They have to be obeying God's principles to do so. And may I say this, why should we get upset when lost people prosper? Unless they get saved, this is the best they'll ever have for eternity. For the saved, this is as bad as it gets. Some of you act like you're going to live forever here on earth. How about you put your pride aside and work for eternity and let somebody else here out-succeed you, out-prosper you? Maybe it is that you helping somebody else to prosper could help them get saved. Everybody doing okay? Realize that lost, wicked person that is at work where you work That is the best they will ever have this side of the grave. And on the other side of the grave, it gets real bad. Maybe we ought to be encouraging them to succeed. God allowed Joseph to prosper, but he also allowed Potiphar to prosper. God wants you to prosper, Psalm 35:27. But prosper does not mean an abundance of things. It means an abundance of pleasure in what you do have or what you do. God wants you to prosper to help others with their needs. God wants you to prosper, but he does not want just you to prosper. Did you hear that? God wants you to prosper, but he does not want just you to prosper. God even wants lost people to prosper. Say why? Because he wants his truth to prosper. God is more concerned about his truth prospering than he is who allows it to prosper. Did you know a lost person can read a gospel tract to someone and get them saved? And they're not even saved themselves? It's not the delivery person, it's the truth.
That's right.
And the issue is the truth, not who does the truth. So God wants you to prosper. God may prosper others because of you. And God may let unsaved people prosper for you and because of you. What a wonderful truth. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe we'll look at prosperity a little bit different. Maybe we'll quit being so selfish and want to fill our bank accounts and fill our cupboards and fill our houses and fill our garages and fill our basements and fill our sheds with things that we don't need, and help us just to learn how to prosper God's way. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Many, many, many hands. You may put them down.